thank you, each of you, for being here today. I want to thank each of you for partnering with us to hear from God, to get before His face and seek personal renewal, corporate renewal, and global renewal. That's what we're after in this season. We want to see God speak to us. We want to hear Him speak to us about the ways that we need to be personally renewed. And then, like we talked about last week, we're praying for big things for our church to see corporate renewal. We're praying for 100 people to give their lives to Jesus. We're praying for 50 people to get baptized. We're praying for 50 new people to join Mosaic and what God is doing in Winchester. We're praying for God to provide us a permanent home and to allow us to see in 2022 us plant another church. And so these are some things that we are getting before God on our face, choosing to not eat food, but choosing to seek God and ask Him to act on our behalf and to spend time in His presence. And so this is what we are doing during this season for corporate renewal. We're praying and asking and fasting. And then we're also praying and fasting for global renewal. And we're asking God for partnerships, like ways that we can partner to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we talked about last week how we did that through the Lottie Moon Easter offering, or the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And we'll do that again through the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And you'll hear more about that throughout the year. And so all of this is seeking after God. We're seeking after God. And so we started our series last week in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to go right back to Matthew chapter 6. But just to recap what we talked about last week, we looked at the Lord's Prayer, and we looked at His instruction on fasting and how this whole passage, if you weren't there, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the message. But this whole passage fits into a broader, a larger sermon by Jesus called the Sermon on the Mount. And in this section, He's doing specific teaching about prayer and fasting. And so today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 24. So I'd encourage you to grab a Bible, grab your phone, and go over to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 24. Today, if you wanted to write down a title for today's message, it's the treasure principle. Jesus is going to help us understand the treasure principle, and I want to connect it to prayer and fasting today as we think about what we're doing in this 21 days of prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24 says this: "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." These are the words of Jesus. Let's take a moment and ask God to help us to understand what He's communicating here and to apply it to our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank You for Your words of life spoken in this sermon. Holy Spirit, we thank You for the ways that You are working today, whether it's through technology, whether it's through video, or the singing in person, or the worship that we might watch if we're at home and engage in. God, I pray that today we would experience your presence and be changed by you. God, we ask that you would speak to us in these few moments that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. So we said the title of our message today is The Treasure Principle. And there was a book years ago written by a guy named Randy Alcorn that was titled that, and I did not get that title for this message from that today. Not against that or anything, but today, as I was reading through the passage this week, studying it, I just thought, Jesus is communicating a principle here. And I think that principle could be summarized in the big idea for today. And the big idea for today is this, that our hearts, our eyes, and our worship always reveal the true treasure of our lives. Our heart, our eyes, and our worship always reveal the true treasure of our lives. You see, what we treasure says a lot about us as people. I want you to think about that for just a moment. What are the treasures in your life? You know, part of the reason I'm not there today and we're doing this on video is because my uncle, Charles Wayne York, passed away this week. And we're very, very close to him. It's been a very, very difficult time for our family. And so we are here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm recording this sermon so that we can continue to move forward as a church. But we're here and we're going through his life and the things that he accumulated and all of that. And it's interesting what you find out, what people treasure, right? What they value. And my uncle was a very simple person, and yet he had some things that he valued and treasured. And all of us do. And there's nothing wrong with things, but ultimately they speak to the things that we value and that we treasure. You see, your value also not only shows up in your things, but it shows up in your decisions. Your treasure shows up in your decisions, and it shows up in your behavior. Our treasures show up not only in the things that we have, the decisions that we make, but it shows up in our behavior. We spend our time, we use our words, and our treasure shows up a lot in the things we value and who we are by our actions and our behaviors and our decisions. You see, it's interesting to me how you don't really appreciate the value of something or someone until they're gone or until it's gone. Some of you didn't realize how much you really valued breakfast until you decided, you know what, I'm going to fast during breakfast, pray and seek God for personal, corporate, and global renewal. You didn't know how much you valued it. This was my experience this week. Just to let you know and to be honest with you, man, I love me some breakfast. And it has been a labor of love to set aside breakfast this week to pursue Jesus. You don't realize how much you value something, how much you treasure something until it is gone or until you set it aside. For some of you, it's lunch, right? You value some lunch, right? Or maybe it's dinner, or maybe it's sugar. You don't realize how much you value sugar until you decide, you know what, I'm going to set it aside. Your body, how much your body values it, or your feelings, or your emotions, right? Maybe you came to the realization just how much you value people's opinion, or getting your opinion out there, because you decided to set aside social media or watching the news or scrolling the news. You decided to do that, and good for you. That's amazing that you decided to do that. But you didn't realize just how much you valued it when you set it aside. I'm sure all of us have experienced this, oh, it's no big deal. You know, let me get my little quick hit and then go back to prayer and fasting. You just don't realize how much we treasure things ultimately that do not matter. So here's the deal. The material possessions that we hold so closely in this world are fragile and fleeting at best. And Jesus calls us in this passage to add a new perspective to our lives. A perspective that is oriented towards heaven. And to say, I value you, Jesus, and your kingdom, and the things that will last more than anything. Jesus is offering us a firm foundation, a stable foundation, something that we can guarantee on right here in this passage for his followers that we can build our lives and our future upon. We basically want to answer just one question today. And that is, where is my treasure? Where is my treasure? Remember, we said the title of the message is The Treasure Principle. And we said the big idea is this, that our hearts and our eyes and our worship, they always reveal the true treasure of our lives. So then we have to ask the question, this passage begs us to ask the question, where is my treasure? Where is my treasure? C.S. Lewis, in his book entitled The Weight of Glory, he says this, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. I come back to that quote over and over in my own personal life because often I find treasure in things that are just mud pies, that when the rain comes, they go away. This week, I did not choose to fast from social media. You saw me posting things, guided prayers, all of that. I would encourage you to participate in those. Sometimes they may be a different mode of prayer, and I'd encourage you, explore that. But as I was posting, I'd scroll for just a minute and then go back to work and doing what I was doing. And a friend of mine recently was up in Michigan, and he was near one of the Great Lakes up there, and he goes for a walk every year around the same time, and there's this phenomenon that happens up there where the wind and all of that will come up off the lake, and of course, there's nobody out there on the beach, and so the sand can kind of just blow wherever it goes, and hopefully, if I remember, I'll post a photo about this. You can send me a message and say, hey, could you post that photo of your friend? And he posted this wonderful photo of these sand spires, these towers of sand that have been shaped and fashioned beautifully from the sand and the wind and the absence of people. It's beautiful. But as I thought about that, as beautiful as that is, as amazing as that is, as much of a treasure it is for my friend every year, go and see that, it goes away. You see, our lives are like that. Just like C.S. Lewis's quote in The Weight of Glory, we spend so much of our life trying to move towards something and to gain something and to collect something that's just like those sand spires. It doesn't last. So the question is where is my treasure? So we're going to just break down that big idea and walk through the text and begin to orient our lives and how it connects to prayer and fasting. So are you ready? Let's do this together. Remember, our big ideas, our hearts, our eyes, and worship always reveal the true treasure of our lives. Let's look at our heart first. Jesus says this in verse 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart. You see, your heart will always follow your treasure. Your heart will always follow your treasure. You can write that down. Your heart will always follow your treasure. Jesus is essentially speaking here about two realities. He's saying there's a secure reality, which is laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's investing in things, investing in Jesus, the church, people becoming followers of Jesus, discipleship, all of these types of things, investing our life in being personally connected to Jesus, intimate with Jesus through prayer and fasting. That's a secure reality. And then there are insecure realities. There are insecure opportunities that come across our path every day. Insecure realities, insecure opportunities, and then there are secure realities and secure opportunities. You know, when someone passes, like I've experienced this life, this is what you end up kind of parsing between as you sift through the pages and stuff of people's lives. It's insecurity versus security. Like these securities and exchanges and life insurance policies and all of that are meant to provide some security for your living relatives. But even those things, assets, money, property, all of that, it's fleeting. It doesn't last. And then there's secure realities. The investment in the kingdom of God. You see, your heart will always follow your treasure. This is why I believe that Solomon, who writes about this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So Solomon was onto something here. He says, your heart and finding its security in God alone is of utmost importance. In fact, he puts it this way in one other translation, with all vigilance. With all vigilance. That means with everything you have, you and I must be committed to guarding our hearts and investing it in secure realities, the things of God versus insecure realities. So the question is who or what do you hold most dear? Who or what do you hold most dear? If your heart is unhealthy, it threatens everything else. Physically, this is true. Your heart's unhealthy, everything else. Liver's unhealthy, everything else goes. Family, friends, career, everything centers around your heart. Your relationship with God, the most important thing that you could cultivate in your life, relationship with God, the eternal God, the living God, centers in your heart, the seat of your emotions. And so you say, well, how does this connect to prayer and fasting? Prayer and fasting is a means of guarding our hearts towards secure realities versus insecure realities. You see, thieves can break in and steal things, physical things. They can steal your money. They can steal your possessions, all of those things. What can never be stolen are the things that we invest in God and our relationship with God. So the question is are you investing in something that can be taken? Are you investing in something that can never be taken away? Prayer and fasting orients our hearts and lives towards treasuring Christ above everything else. Above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. One translation says, from it flow the issues of life. You invest in secure realities, treasuring God above everything else, and your heart will be investing in the right treasure. So the question then is where is my treasure? Where is my treasure? Is it in secure realities or insecure realities? And fasting and prayer focuses our hearts on investing in secure realities. So you say, I'm not doing this. Well, first and foremost is, do you have a relationship with God? Have you placed your faith, your trust, dependence, and reliance solely upon Him? If you've done that, then you are on the pathway to investing in secure realities. If you haven't, your future is 100% insecure. And the most important thing you could do is to do business with God today and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And I place my faith, my trust, my dependence, my reliance solely on you to forgive me of my sins. The moment we do this with full faith and assurance in God, His secure reality becomes ours. We become a child of God. How amazing is that? And then we can begin to focus our hearts on Him and treasuring Him above everything else through prayer and fasting. You say, that's me. I want to do that. I want to shift my treasure to investing in things above and not things below. In prayer and fasting, pray that God would search your heart for the desires that are there. For those of us who've been following Jesus for a really, really, really long time, we have to keep doing this. That's what this season is about, Mosaic. It's about us continuing to pursue the presence of God and saying, God, show me where it is that I desire things more than you. I lay aside food. I lay aside social media. I lay aside whatever it is that you've called me to lay aside, and I pursue you. It's about training our desires for God. And then you search for God's riches in His Word. So rather than spending time eating, here's what we do. We search God's Word. You say, I've been trying to pray, Pastor Jamie, and man, I can't spend that very long. I start like 5 minutes and I don't know what to say. You know what? He has given us these words. He's talking to us. When you don't know what to say, go right over to the Psalms. Go right over to Proverbs. Go through the Gospels and hear the words of God, and then allow that to shape what you say back to Him. That's what these guided prayers have been all about that we're posting. It's just taking one verse and allowing that to shape the words that we say. And it's amazing how it guides us. Search God's riches in His Word. So we pray, we search God's Word, and then we prioritize. You know, that's what this season is about. It's about prioritizing our hearts. It's saying at the beginning of 2022, what we want more is your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. What we've been saying, in Winchester as it is in heaven. We are orienting our hearts, prioritizing our hearts. Not on the things that we want, but on the things of God. So the question is, where is the focus of your heart? If you'll answer that question, you'll get to the answer of the first question, which is, where is my treasure? Where is my treasure? So number one, the heart. Number two, eyes. Eyes. Look at verse 22 and 23. Look at verse 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So you said, well, why is Jesus talking about the eye? Because the eye is a lamp into our heart and our souls. And when our eyes are out of focus, our lives become out of focus. But when our eyes are tuned and in focus, it's amazing what we can see. How many of you have been to an eye doctor recently? One of the most interesting things to me, and I've studied this in the last few years and relate it to my job where I train coaches for pastors and church planters. And I always say that the coach is kind of like, becomes like the photometer. That's what those big glasses are that they put on your eyes at the eye doctor. And it's so interesting to me. It's like, do you like one or two? One or two? right? Go ahead and read the line, right? What's the lowest line that you can read? And then is it the first one or the second one? How about the third one? Let me give you another option. You see, God's word and prayer and fasting are like God's photometer for our eyes. It focuses our hearts. It focuses our eyes and our attention upon God. That's what reading God's word every day does for us. It focuses our eyes. It focuses our attention upon Him. And it reveals to us what's out of focus and what's in focus. You see, Jesus is brilliant here in talking about the eye, because it's the lamp. It's what brings light into our body. And a lamp usually provides light. We got a couple lamps over here, right? It provides light. In the ancient culture, an oil lamp would provide enough light to see, to help you see where you were going. And if I was going to preach this in person, I have a little oil lamp, an example of what it was. It's like a first century flashlight. It was small, and all you could see was the very next step in where you were going. See, I think our eyes and what we look at and what we fix our gaze upon, what it does more than anything is it shows us where to go and it tells us where we're headed. It sets the direction for where we are going. You see, before we go anywhere, we look. We look. We fix our attention. We see it and then we go that direction. So if we're setting our gaze upon food, it's amazing how many food pictures I saw this week for breakfast and for lunch, because it's drawing my attention. Look, you want this. Look at this. Look how amazing it looks. I'm not going to describe food because all of us are probably fasting in some way, in form and fashion, but it's just amazing how much was trying to get my attention to treasure something through my eyes. So Jesus talks about this because if our eye is healthy and oriented towards Him and His kingdom, our hearts will follow it. It will begin to make practical steps towards God and pursuing Him. So I just have one question for you today. What are you looking at? Where's your focus? Are you focused on Jesus and His kingdom? This is old hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What's the hymn writer saying? He's like, when we turn our eyes upon Him. That's what prayer and fasting is for us in this season. It's turning our eyes away from food, turning our eyes away from social media, whatever it is that you chose, turning our eyes away from sugar and fixing our eyes upon Him. Fixing our eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's God's word. We fix our eyes upon Jesus in this season so that we can experience the personal renewal, corporate renewal, and global renewal that we're asking Him for. And when we do this, He gives us spiritual eyes to see the ways that we need to confess our sin, eyes to see the ways that we have misplaced our treasure, and begin to reinvest it in the things that will last. This season is so special because He is giving us an opportunity to sit in the optometrist's chair and put on the photometer through prayer and fasting and get clear vision. Get clear vision for what God has for us in 2022, 2023, 2024. We're asking God to give us a vision for our church for the next 3 to 5 years. God, give us this vision so that we can begin to take steps towards treasuring You more than anything else. How many of you have ever been asleep for a really long time, maybe for a short period of time, but you wake up and you just got what we like to call affectionately eye junk or eye boogers, right? You get up, you go to the bathroom, you look in the mirror, and you clean it out. You clean it out. You get some water. You probably wash your hands first because we've learned, you know, people are nasty, right? So we wash our hands, we get some water, and we clean it out. This passage is pointing us to what prayer and fasting can do for us. It's like washing our hands, washing our hearts, orienting ourselves towards God, and cleaning out the eye junk. Prayer and fasting, it's God's means of grace to help you clearly see who you are and who He is. So, our hearts, our eyes, and our worship will always reveal the true treasure of our lives. So we've talked about the heart, we've talked about the eyes. We're going to talk about worship for just a moment. You see, your worship is always focused on your treasure. Your worship is always focused on your treasure. Look at the very last verse, verse 24. You can't serve two masters. You either hate the one and love the other. And he says, you will either be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. One translation says mammon. In some sense, I like that better because it includes all kinds of treasures, not just money. But you know, in our culture, that's what we worship more than anything, power. And what's the means by which we accumulate more power? Wealth. You see, your worship is always focused on your treasure. You worship your football team. Right? You'll leave church and you'll go to the football game. You just will. You'll spend thousands of dollars on tickets, right? To sit in a worship center known as a stadium. Nothing wrong with football. I love football, I love sports. But you can see how it gains our affections and we worship it, right? We'll spend money on it. We'll value it. We'll treasure it. We'll get clothes, hats. You know, I've had them, have them. It's amazing how much it holds our hearts and shows what we value and treasure. Jesus is speaking very plainly here. Whatever you treasure, you will worship. Whatever you treasure, you will worship. And whatever you worship will take your time, your talent, and your treasures. And he's saying, essentially, your worship will either invest its time, talent, and treasure in something that will not last, or it will be an investment in something that will last for eternity. He gives us just two ways that our treasure has power over us. We serve our treasure, and we give our lives over to it. We're devoted to it. You see, your treasure calls the shots. And you're going to listen and obey. That's how we're wired. We're wired to treasure. Paul treasured things in his life. Paul's treasure shifted at his salvation from being status and prestige as a Pharisee to being a servant. You see, he's like, I'm a servant of all. God was Paul's treasure. So it caused him from worshiping himself and the approval of others to treasuring God above everything else, and it led him to a life of service. There was a time when Paul treasured other things, but there was a moment when he was absolutely arrested by grace, and it moved him to go all over the known world to plant churches everywhere for everyone. Why? Because he treasured Christ above everything else. You can't serve God and something else. You can't serve God and your own desires. You can't serve God and lay up treasures for yourself on this earth. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Jesus says that your master can be God. This is what we desire more than anything here at Mosaic, is that we would live, love, and labor for the glory of Christ. That statement, we have to internalize it more than anything, to live, love, and labor for the glory of Christ. What is this? This is treasuring Christ above everything else. In my life, the way I love, the way I labor, whatever I do, whether it's working at Dulles Airport like Jonathan, or the North American Mission Board and Mosaic Church like me, or the security company, right? Or the fire department, whatever it is that you do, laboring in your job, treasuring Christ above everything else in your job for His glory. You see, you can't be a good husband to two wives. You can't be a good wife to two husbands. Right? You can't be a diehard college fan of two teams. Right? Bill, diehard Duke fan. Right? Just one team. That's it. Cheryl, diehard Packers fan. Right? George, you're probably watching this, diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. His wife, Shirley, diehard Redskins fan, right? They probably need marriage counseling, right? You can't be devoted to two teams. And I bring that up because we can't be devoted to two masters. Either money, possessions, opinions of others will be the greatest treasure of our life, or Jesus is. And Jesus is saying there's one investment that will last. Something's got to give. You will love the one or hate the other and be devoted to the one and despise the other. So where's your treasure? Look at your heart. Where is your treasure? Look at your eyes. Where is your treasure? Look at your worship. You see, God might be calling you into this season of prayer and fasting so that the treasure of your life would shift. And the investment that you're making will change eternity. Maybe you're here today and you're watching this and your treasure is only in earthly things. And I just think that God might have brought you here to this video feed or to this service today to tell you that there's something bigger and better than that. And that's the love of God. He treasured you so much that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And what that means is He took your penalty, your debt, which was given to you by sin, by the choices that you've made and you being a sinner. And He paid your debt by living the life that you could not live and dying the death that you deserved. Scripture says this, He became sin who knew no sin, that we may become the righteousness of God. In other words, God gave up His treasure, put His treasure on the cross so that you could treasure Him for all of eternity. Would you put your faith and trust in Him today? Mosaic, would you recommit your lives today to treasuring Him more than anything? Let's pray.